Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Today is Pakistan Independence Day, so happy Independence Day to all Pakistanis. And most people in Pakistan are happy that such an event exists. I did meet one Pakistani who was morally courageous enough and wise enough to recognize that it was a historical cataclysm and Pakistan ought to have remained within India. I met him on the train to Quetta, and my God, that's 26 years ago. Now, I've been to 93 countries and Pakistan is the worst one I ever visited. I'm not anti-Pakistani. Of course, they're good people, but Pakistanis, they're of all nationalities. But the country has got many severe problems. If you compare it to its neighbor, India, Pakistan has got really none of the good stuff of India, all the bad stuff, only much worse. So I don't want to go through the whole history of it, but obviously it was part of India for millennia. Now, India wasn't fully united all the time. Some parts of India were semi-independent or totally independent. India united, divided, reunited, divided through the millennia. But obviously in 1947, it was part of the British Raj that was soon going to be liquidated. This Pakistan movement had got going really in the early 1930s. And the Muslim League started as a section within the Indian National Congress, the political party that led India to independence. Separate electorates for Mohammedans. That was a demand from much of the Muslim community, and the British authorities thought this might be a good way to divide and weaken the independence movement. And they say that the British were more mistrustful of the Muslims, thinking they had been more behind the mutiny of 1857 than Hindus and so on. Maybe more reluctant to embrace British education because they thought it was somehow tinged with Christianity and all the rest of it. Goodness. And so that movement got going. Even Muhammad Ali Jinnah, not so many years before the establishment of Pakistan, had described it as an impossible dream, say that if independence comes, well, we must have two homelands, one for Muslims and one for Hindus. And obviously the Congress Party and other Indian nationals say, no, India is for all Indians, regardless of religion, whether Muslim or Hindu or Sikh or Christian or Buddhist or Jain or Parsi or atheist or anything. So India is for everyone and will make it a secular state. But this idea had got traction. And as Stanley Walpert, his classic biography of the Qaidi Azum, the great leader Muhammad Ali Jinnah said, not many men create a country and change the map of the world. And Jinnah did this, and it was through a sheer iron will he forced it through. And the Congress Party had one representation in some parts of Pakistan, including what's now the Khyber Pakhtunkhwala, that was the frontier Gandhi, and he made it happen. So there wasn't a need to do this. They could have been part of a secular India, and there's still the Muslim Marriage Act in India and so forth like that. So as the Indians like to point out, there are more Muslims in India than there are in Pakistan. India's had, is it four Muslim presidents? So far, I think it has had a Muslim prime minister and so forth. Now, I know there are problems. There are some Hindus who are anti-Muslim, and there's some Muslims who are anti-Hindu. And, the current Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is an example of the problem. He was chief minister of Gujarat in the early noughties when there was a lot of communal violence. Muslims murdered for their faith, likewise Hindus murdered for their faith, and so on. And the 1930s, that somewhat exacerbated. And the Hindu Mahasabha and some of the hardliners didn't help the situation. I think it was six of one and a half dozen of the other. But it's not as though there's no intercommunal violence within Pakistan between Sunnis and Shia. I'm not suggesting all Sunnis hate all Shia and vice versa, but a serious number do. And that is, of course, the Taliban, for example. And even within Sunni Islam, there's a lot of fighting too. So moreover, it was supposed to be a homeland for Muslims and not a Shariat state. So that was explicitly disowned, the idea of a Shariat state, by Muhammad Ali Jinnah. Obviously, he died just a year after the establishment of what was then the Dominion of Pakistan. The constitution didn't come until 1957, which made it the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, and gradually secularism is gone. There are the Hudud ordinances. It's got, English common law and the Sharia law running in parallel. Bizarrely, an acquittal in the common law court could be overturned, and the person could subsequently be convicted for that crime in the Shariat court. And I don't understand Sharia law, but so there's no double jeopardy rule there and things like that. So, there's a lot of poverty in Pakistan, partly because There's so much money spent on defense. The raison d'etre is to define themselves as not being India, terrible for the Hindu community, for the Christian community, the Sikh community, and always the partition of India, a huge-scale bloodletting, hundreds of thousands of people of different religions murdered, particularly in the Punjab, not so much in Bengal. Remember, East Pakistan, it's now Bangladesh, became part of the country, was rather less bloodshed there, but I suppose it was just delayed to 1971 when there was that rebellion for independence of Bangladesh, which indeed happened, partly in Indian sponsorship, but the Hindu community being slaughtered, and indeed a lot of Bengalis by the Pakistani army, which is overwhelmingly from West Pakistan, not East Pakistan. The country with two wings fell apart. Clearly, Islam wasn't enough to keep them together. I remember the Muslims in East Pakistan were almost exclusively Sunni, and so it went on. So it's almost a failed state, a nuclear weapons state. So if there was one India, if Bangladesh, Pakistan was still part of India, there would still be states with extensive degrees of autonomy. But if there, even though there was a nuclear weapon, they'd have to have one nuclear arsenal, not two. They wouldn't be facing off each other. They could join forces. They would trade a lot more. So many places in Pakistan or, you know, the west of India cut off from the natural hinterland, more difficult to trade, divided families, some people lost property. And okay, that's quite a long time ago. That's almost 80 years ago. But so there's an awful lot of poverty, an awful lot of peculation, and defalcation in Pakistan and suffering, and the armed force is the only thing that functions because it has to face off against India, then having to suck up to China and overlook the genocide against the Uyghurs, who are Sunni Muslims. So the irony of that, everything they can to demonize India. And all right, India has its problems, and sometimes the Muslim minority is treated badly. So the Pakistani media and politicians do everything they can to exaggerate that, pretend the worst possible case typifies the whole scenario to inflate the figures. Hindus and Sikhs in Pakistan, they're now allowed to emigrate to India where they can live without fear, because these girls can be kidnapped and married off to old men, forcibly converted to Islam, or indeed they could be false accused of blaspheming the sacred name of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and that attracts the death penalty, apostasy and blasphemy and so on. So the right to convert is strictly one way. So, you know, there's an awful lot of violence against women. There's an awful lot of underage marriage. Only something like 60% of Pakistanis are literate. It's much higher in India. And it's very sad. And there's a lot of penury, which doesn't need to be there. The pauperism is partly because so much public money is stolen by politicians and civil servants. And I know that India has some of these problems too, but they're less severe. India has a real democracy with real elections and a fairly free media. I know it's been largely muzzled under Narendra Modi. It was a lot better. And they're the Congress Party are the good guys in India these days. There's the Indian Reunification Association, which is campaigning for an entirely slow, democratic, peaceful reunification, Bangladesh and Pakistan to rejoin India. Now, this idea is so attractive that it's had to be outlawed in Pakistan. If it really held no allurements, there'd be no need to make it against the law. Of course, people in Pakistan should be allowed to campaign for Pakistan to remain independent or to rejoin India. Often it wouldn't be worth your life to say, yeah, we made a colossal category error and millions of lives have been lost because of it and we should rejoin India. And it might never happen. But yeah, it was a huge historic mistake. Perhaps it's a forlorn hope. Terrible decisions are made in history. We leave the repercussions of those for decades or indeed centuries. But yes, it is possible to turn the clock back. I'm not pretending it's 1947, but to reverse the error. But which statesman or stateswoman would have the valor, the wisdom and the wherewithal to see it through? So the campaign has just begun. It might never happen. Perhaps it is a lost cause. At the moment, there's no movement for that in Pakistan, as I say, because of terrorism. You'd be killed for even suggesting it. This is a place where even top politicians can be murdered, not for saying, not that blasphemy shouldn't be criminal, but it shouldn't get the death penalty. Those who blaspheme Islam should just get a lesser sentence, maybe life imprisonment. And even that gets them shot dead. Where there are all sorts of honor killings and the murderers get slap on the wrist sentences, it's sick. So there are also very good, humane, kind Pakistanis. What's the nicest thing I can say about it is the hospitality. People very, very welcoming, really want to produce a positive impression on tourists, regard them as guests. So there's a lot of liberality, especially for people who don't have very much. Some people super polite who realize their country doesn't get a very good press and really want to correct some of the worst things that are said about Pakistan. And it's all terribly sad. The people of Pakistan, they deserve far, far better. rather than, you know, militarism, then almost constant internecine conflict. The country sometimes are close to civil war and often a dagger's drawn with India, state-sponsored terrorism against people in India. And I know the Indian Army has committed crimes against civilians in Jammu and Kashmir. Well, what can we hope? I mean, the ultimate solution would be reunification, but sadly, it's a good idea. So, yeah, you can almost abandon hope it'll ever happen. Thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan at 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.